And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 78 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And speaking of iTunes, don't forget that if you leave a review for us on iTunes and include your Twitter handle, we select a winner each week to win an autographed book set from Adam and I.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our chat will continue all summer long, every Wednesday, so don't miss out. This week, we got another great guest, but first, we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloney, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas, and I'm thrilled this week to have our special guest, Sara Ahmed. So, Sara, thanks for being with us.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me today. Good morning from Bangkok, Thailand.
Yes. It's evening time when we're recording this, but it's a whole other day where you are. We also want to remind our viewers that you can participate in social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, whether you're watching this live or listening to the recording later. We always love hearing the things that stick out to you.
So we have a few questions for you, Sara. So for those few people out there that don't know who you are, tell us about yourself.
I was born and raised in the suburbs outside of Chicago, a little town called Batavia. I'm the proud owner of two big sisters, and my parents are all there, and my nieces and nephews, so my whole family is actually still based in Chicago. I taught for about 10 years in Chicago public schools. From there, I moved to La Jolla, California, and taught in school there. I had a short stint in New York City before moving to Bangkok, where I am now. I'm the literacy coach at NIST International School in Bangkok.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So you spent this year kind of working at an international school. What have you seen probably as the biggest difference working there as opposed to working in the States?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I've been sort of figuring that out and grappling with that all year. I think one of the biggest differences is that we have, when people talk about diversity and inclusion, like, you know, we have about 44 nations represented at our school, which gives us about, you know, there's roughly, I think, about 19 languages spoken. And so just that has created sort of like the world is here, right? Like at my school. And so I see that. And for me, it's really just been a massive learning experience in terms of educators that are really, really experienced all over the world. You know, for many, this I'm sort of the rookie in being at my first international school. Everyone's done like 4 or 5 countries. And so everyone's brought their own expertise from other countries and other systems, and then kids are coming in from other countries and other systems, and so that's been pretty fascinating.
Very nice. I was like a month before I met my wife, I was actually flying to Bangkok to go to a job fair for an international school.
Oh.
And then I met my wife, and then like my life just took a totally another path. But
I tell
my
wife, you guys can always come back together.
Someday I'll take my kids over. That'd be so fun. So, Sara, you also just authored a book called Upstandards. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was my first sort of labor of love, and actually it was the greatest opportunity to work with Smokey Daniels, who's been my mentor since about 2009 when we met. And so that was just a really cool project where we got to just love middle schoolers that much more. You know, both of us are sort of middle school minded in terms of even still probably our brains are still a little middle school minded. Our amygdala is still pretty mature, just like middle schoolers. And so we just spend a ton of time in my classroom in Chicago and in San Diego. And just, you know, we worked through an inquiry lens with kids, and we really just got to know them. And it's middle school, you know, so if you take the time to listen to middle schoolers and like give your whole self to middle schoolers, they will give you that back times 100. And so it's grounded in identity and having kids look at their identity first before we can start asking them questions like, put yourself in their shoes, or how do you feel empathy for this character? You know, kids have a really hard time doing that until they can first sort of understand who they are and start to feel why they're making the decisions they are and the choices they are and how they feel about other human beings, mostly based on how they see themselves. So
nice.
I love that. You know, I've never worked with middle school kids in an educational setting. And I was talking to my good friend Travis Crowder, who teaches at a middle school in North Carolina. And he was one of them that was like, oh my gosh, you're going to have Sara on the show. I love her book. I love this stuff that she does. Yeah. So I love hearing you talk about that because, you know, for us in education, we know there's a very big difference between working with elementary kids, middle school kids, and high school kids. It takes special people to work with each group. Did you always know that you were meant to be a middle school teacher?
No, oh, first huge shout out to Travis, because we've been like communicating on Twitter a lot too, and I'm like, oh, I'm like finding all of you guys, and I'm having a great time. It's a little party right now. But yeah, you know, my first position ever was in a two-room schoolhouse, actually, in Ireland, when I did my student teaching. And wow. So I worked with, yeah, it was fascinating, and it was pre-K to five, and that was just for about a year. But when I came back to Chicago, I went straight into middle school, and I didn't know. But the minute I walked in, I did know. And so for about 15 years, I just left the classroom after 15 years. So 15 years of middle schoolers, like 5 to 8, is that's my home. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But now, you know, I'm here at NIST, and I'm the EY, which is like pre-K to year six, which is grade five, in America. I'm the literacy coach for elementary. So now that's a whole new growth experience right. For me as well. But I miss the middle school peeps.
I just got to say a fanboy moment for Smokey. I saw him speak at Teachers College in Manhattan, and he's just he's the man. He's just so engaging. Yeah. Has such awesome stuff to say. So what was school like growing up for you?
Oh, man. School growing up for me, you know, here's what I remember about school growing up was recess and playing soccer and PE and art and all the beautiful times that I was able to talk with my friends and be with my friends. And then my third grade teacher put in a couch and a rug one day in the classroom. You know, she just like brought her small like plaid couch from her house, and that was like mind blowing for us. And then all of her books were there. And so that's what school was like for me. It was, I was very interested against everything my parents wanted, being super social. And, you know, I was the kid that definitely got the checks on talks too much. Those indicators are, but I think looking back on that, That's where I go now, right? That's where I go. I know those kids. I can see them. I can see me in a lot of those kids. So school was fun. I mean, school was all sports for me. I'm a huge sports fan. It was soccer and tennis with my dad a lot. And just my eighth grade friends are still my best friends today. And so it's really about social relationships. And I think that's why my focus is so big on that right now.
Awesome. So fast forward to now, what do you think is the hardest part about being in education?
Everything. I think the teaching and education, people are in it because it's their craft and their passion and it's their art. You know, nobody just chooses to go into teaching as a job. Mm-hmm. So I think what makes it really hard for educators is when the people making the decisions about policy, about budget, about curricular decisions are not teachers. Or not kids, to be honest. You know, you could go in and ask kids what you should spend the budget on, and I guarantee they'll say books. Mm-hmm. And right now they might say fidget spinners, you know, or whatever it is. But that's what I think the hardest thing is, that the people that are making the decisions are not right. teachers. And even that goes, you know, up into our small pipelines of administration and central offices. And I think that just teachers' voice needs to be heard a lot more because they're on the front lines every day.
Right. Well, Sara, what is a goal that you have for yourself for this next 365 days?
Well, my editor would like to say my goal is to finish my second book. And so, therefore, that is my goal. I'm writing a new book. It's coming out in the spring.
Oh, exciting.
Around this idea of social comprehension, having brave conversations with kids in class. Yeah, just centered again, grounded in humanity, but understanding that everybody's identity is at stake, and then using sort of comprehension strategies that we all know through reading, but changing that and flipping that and using social comprehension strategies. So like being candid, asking questions, grounding your knowledge and your talk and your identity, and just finding your humility. So working through it, I don't have my elevator pitch as you can tell yet, but we'll get there. And you know, my other thing is just learning how to coach. It's my first year coaching. I think it's a job that you can define with the teachers and kids as you go. I've been really, really tuned into just asking kids what's in their news and kind of getting the shift from inquiry and working with teachers to kind of listen to kids more instead of taking up a lot of the airtime that we tend to do because we have so much to get through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So other than your editor?
Your editor,
someone that inspires you to be better.
My parents, through and through, my parents. And I have to do this without obviously getting emotional because I miss them and they're so far away. my parents are huge. If I could use my own word for my book, they're just upstanders. You know, like 9/11 happened and my mom called me right away. I was at Iowa at the time and she was like, run the mosque. Actually, it was just not too far from my house. And she goes, run to the mosque and check on them. You know, make sure they're okay. Are your roommates okay? And I said, yeah, everyone's fine. She's like, well, run there first. And, at the same time she told me to do that, she went to a few local churches just to talk to people because instead of fear spreading, just trying to spread knowledge, right? And she continues to do that today. And my dad is like my best friend in the whole world. So anything that I do, any way I treat people, which is hopefully just through love, is all from my dad. So, and also we're Indian, so nothing really is ever good enough, right? So we're... So they push me to be better. They push me to be better every single day.
So, Sara, when you're having one of those rough, tough to get out of bed days, what do you kind of do to kick your butt into gear and just make it happen?
You know, this is going to sound so cheesy. I don't have those a lot. mostly because I'm a morning person and I'm sort of this loud and talk this fast every morning. There's a few people that could tell you that. But I think... for me now, it's I'm always sort of in search of adventure. So when I do like take a job in Thailand, I'm looking for that adventure, right? So right now, every day if I'm exhausted, I think about the fact that I'm so lucky that I have not my own homeroom anymore, but I have 26 thinking partners in each classroom, plus a teacher, and we just get to creatively problem solve stuff every single day, and so. In a lot of ways, there's no monotony in teaching and education, if you choose that. Yep. And so that gets you out of bed. You guys know.
All right, Sara. Every week, we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
I thought about this. I was actually just thinking about the word challenge, and that just helped in general. But I guess my challenge is to... do something that makes you slightly uncomfortable this week. And I think that's what challenge is. So for some of us, that might just mean read a book by somebody that doesn't look like you, or say hello to somebody on the street that you otherwise would avoid eye contact with, or, apologize to somebody or forgive somebody or whatever that might be, just something. Try a new workout. For me, that would be cooking because I can't cook. Just do something that makes you mildly uncomfortable and take risks and sort of think about your own thinking and be metacognitive through that process.
I love that. Well, Sara, thank you so much for being a guest on our show and being ready this morning to just come on and do the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been super fun.
Thanks, Sara.
Awesome. We also want to thank our viewers for watching the show. Remember, you can tweet us using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt. We also encourage you to go on to iTunes and leave us a rating so we can select a winner to win our autographed book set. Remember to join our Twitter chats on Wednesday. And our next guest next week is Mitchell Meehan. We hope to see you then.
Nice. Thank you, guys. See ya.